Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 42 degrees at Richland Center, and time now for a news update from ABC.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A man arrested near a Trump rally in California over the weekend released. Police say 49-year-old Ben Miller had illegal guns, ammunition, and fake passports in his car, but he is not believed to have carried out any threats against Donald Trump. Jury selection begins today in the long-awaited trial of a man accused of killing two young teenage girls in Indiana 7 years ago.
13-year-old Abby Williams and 14-year-old Libby German were last seen going for a walk on a local hiking trail. Their bodies were found the next day. Authorities have not released details on how Abby and Libby were killed, but prosecutors say prison recordings and communications reveal Richard Allen confessed to the crimes more than 60 times. The defense attributed those confessions to a decline in his mental health.
ABC's Allison Kosick, the Nobel Memorial Economics Prize awarded to a trio of researchers who study the root causes of why some countries fail. This is it. North Korea may be sending troops to help Russia against Ukraine. That accusation from Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky over the weekend. Tensions between Taiwan and China on the rise, with China launching new large-scale military exercises.
Chinese state television announcing the air and sea drills 4 days after the self-ruled island celebrated the founding of its government. Taiwan's defense ministry calls the exercises a provocation, and a number of its fighter jets have taken to the skies to gauge the scale of the widespread operation. A map aired on China's CCTV showed six large blocks encircling Taiwan, indicating where the drills are being held. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A new military mystery. The Wall Street Journal says Pentagon officials are trying to track down the fleet of drones that showed up for 17 nights in a row in the restricted airspace at Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. As the fauna colors change to vibrant fall colors, it's a great time to add a stunning, colorful opal gemstone of jewelry to your jewelry box. Stop by Pamela's and check out our opals, or stop by the Opal Man's and compare what their opals are. In Spring Green, you have so many opal choices. From Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Thanks to the Schultz Mortgage Team for sponsoring WRCO Hometown Weather Watch. Call 608-738-8765 to learn how you can buy a home with less than 20% down.
A high of 52 today with a few sprinkles, northwest winds at 8 to 14 miles per hour. Isolated light showers early tonight, partial clearing and cold, a low of 33. Tuesday, partly sunny and still cool, a high of 52. Tuesday night, mainly clear, a hard freeze likely, a low of 25. Wednesday, sunny and nice and 57. And Thursday, sunny, windy and warmer at a high of 66.
Tim Walz was raised on a farm in Nebraska. Kamala Harris was born to an immigrant family in Oakland. Tim Walz enlisted in the Army National Guard at 17. Kamala Harris worked at McDonald's to get through school. Together, this team will never forget where they came from and the hardworking families and Americans they're working for.
I will help families by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money.
And I'll tell you, this is personal. The middle class is where I come from. And building that middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. We will create what I call an opportunity economy, where everyone has the chance to compete and a chance to succeed. Whether you live in a rural area, small town, or big city.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Getting a great price is always satisfying, but enjoying quality service and already great auto and home coverage is the icing on top. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm in Richland Center. We will help you choose coverage that fits your needs and budget, in addition to our convenient day and night support to keep you going. All of this is especially important these days. Get a quote today and see for yourself at juliecarons.com or send us a text at 608-647-3632. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Have some friends in the studio today to talk about the great things going on at Riverdale Schools. We have Mr. Jeff Campbell, who is the Riverdale District Administrator, along with Tanner Williamson, who is here talking about college and career readiness. And student Alex Schneider, a senior this year at Riverdale, is here. And Chris Simonson, as we've talked about before, wearing many hats, including directing and coaching and all kinds of things. We'll start with you, Mr. Campbell. How are things going?
Going well. You know, we've, I think since the last time we talked, it was early in the school year, and now we're trickling into the later part of the school year. We've got parent-teacher conferences coming up on Wednesday, and end of the quarter, we hit our six-week mark about now, and got 3 weeks left in the first quarter.
How is the school schedule running this week, then? Do you have a day off, then, with the
teacher? We do, yeah. So what we did as kind of the school board suggests as a way of cost savings measures is we went from those 13, 14 early release days earlier that we had where we'd get out at like 1 o'clock. Instead, we're doing full days to save on some cost of paying for lunches and paraprofessionals and bus drivers and that. And we have full days off, so we also incorporate our parent-teacher conferences in that. So the morning will be professional development for our staff from about 8 till noon. They'll get a little break for lunch, and then we'll take off from 1 to 7:30 is our parent-teacher conferences. And everything, one change we also made with that a couple years ago is we schedule everything online. So parents are able to schedule them online. So even the teachers at the junior high school, it flows a lot better. They know exactly who's coming in when, and parents can fit it around their schedule a lot easier than kind of standing in line and waiting to get in for a teacher. And sometimes that holds them up, and they can pop from place to place. So that's been beneficial for everybody, and we'll look forward to that day. I think the staff will.
That's a real efficient way to do it then, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah, yeah, everybody was, we tried it 1 year, actually kind of more COVID-based was the reasoning we tried it, and it went off really well, and then we continued on post-COVID with doing it that way, and parents are familiar with how to, you know, use the online resource now, or the office will help them with that, and teachers have been very receptive to it.
How did homecoming go at Riverdale?
It went well. It was a week of you know, a number, just the participation was great. We started with our powder puff on Monday night all the way through the dance on Saturday, all the activities during the week. Very positive week for our district. A lot of energy. All of our sports teams got an opportunity to compete that week. And so it was just a positive week all around. I think we really will build on that into the future. And our coordinators who were here kind of planning everything, all of our advisors that were part of it, they did a great job, and they got some big shoes to fill for the future for how things went. So we were very happy with it. Sarah Gruen, her first homecoming at Riverdale, and was very had a lot of positive things to say.
Did you get parodied in any of these skits? Did they have a Mr. Campbell character?
A little bit, yeah. My son played a little bit of me, so that's that's always good. So,
and they were on video this year too.
They were. Yeah, we did video skits after the volleyball. But everybody did a great job with those too. Nice theme for all the classes. They're really coming around with the technology these days. The kids know how to use it a lot better than us, I think. So they produce some pretty good skits.
Yeah, that's awesome. Maybe some future Academy Award winners from Riverdale.
We might have them.
Maybe.
We
We wanted to talk a little bit about the Riverdale School Board today, Jeff.
Yeah, so last week was our school board recognition week for the state of Wisconsin, and we were able to recognize our school board. Usually it kind of falls during the week of a meeting. It just happened to be our meeting is actually tonight for school board, so we kind of recognize them there, but we were able to get the recognition out on Facebook. And I just kind of wanted to give the recognition of these nine people that, when you say behind the scenes a little bit, I think school boards were always behind the scenes until COVID really hit, and they kind of came forefront, but they really make a lot of decisions within our district. And I think their role was emphasized during the COVID time and really made people aware of, you know, the importance of your school board and what they govern your school for. And I think we're fortunate enough. We have, I think it's about six individuals that actually graduated from Riverdale, and then also a retired principal. So I'm just going to kind of give you a rundown of what we have. Our president is Bill Tracy, Riverdale graduate. He's been on the school board. I don't know the exact number of years, but it's been a long time. Bill's really put forth his service. Our vice president, Nick Stitzer. He also volunteers as a cross-country coach, which is great, too. He's right in with those kids. Treasurer Gary Stanek, once again, another veteran member, Riverdale graduate. Dave McHenry is our clerk, and he served as a long time as the high school principal at Riverdale, now still continues to live in the community, and had his kids all come through the district, so he's giving back there. Mark Cooey. Works right up here at Schreiber's, and has his whole family has graduated from Riverdale, and one of our school board members, Veronica Harris, Ronnie Harris, works at Scott's there, another Riverdale graduate that we had. Mandy Kenyon, she's actually a new board member as of August, took on her, actually as of July, I should say, and then a Riverdale graduate there. And the last two are also Riverdale graduates, Darren Miller, which has had kids go through the district, and then Darren Meese came on a couple years ago, and he's also a Riverdale graduate. So very, very proud of these people and the way they handle themselves and the way we're officially able to run our school with their support.
That is a good group, because you've got some, as you mentioned, been on for a while. You've got some new people, bringing some new ideas.
Yeah, we do. We don't have a huge turnover with it, which is nice. We just had one resignation this past year, Travis Hudson, who had spent the 10 years on our school board. So his daughter had moved through, and he said to move on. So it allowed somebody else with a little younger family to jump on there and really be part of our board and, bring those. And it's always nice, like you say, to bring new ideas and fresh ideas to it from the things that they see from the outside.
You as administrator work closely with them, don't you?
Do, yeah. I mean, they're pretty much my boss, and but I've got to work closely with this group, and I'm in constant contact with the president and other members if needed. Try to provide them an update at least between board members, at least once, maybe twice, of the things that are going on within our district, so they're kept up to date on things. And I'm very open with them and let them know that, you know, we want to know those concerns, not just waiting till the board meetings, but ahead of time if there's concerns from our public. And our public and our constituents need to know that they can contact them at any time. Any of their board members from their area or any of the board members if they do have concerns, because it's a nice way to they are elected through there through the constituents, so it's important that they have their voice through those board members, and we can all work together to find the solutions that people might have within our district.
School boards face challenges these days, and moving forward, they've got a lot on their plate, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do, and I think that's what we're very appreciative for, the people that spend our time coming to those board meetings and making these difficult decisions. Some meetings, there's not as much to go over or to make decisions on, and then at other times, there's big decision to make. And in any type of leadership role or board role, you make decisions what you feel like is best interest for all kids. And that's difficult, especially when you're in a position where you might have a interest in a certain area, but you have to think of it as a whole. And that's important. And our board does a great job with that. They kind of lead me in that direction too, and we work well together with that in the short time we've been here. And I've been, fortunate to work with these people under a number of different roles within the district. So I know a lot of them. I know a lot of them personally as I grew up through the district. So those relationships are important. And the one thing I think our board excels at too is the ability to kind of state an opinion in a in a positive manner, but also state the opinion what's best for everybody. And they go back and forth and have some constructive conversations that benefit the district. And that's what I appreciate the most out of this group of people.
We're just grateful that people step forward and serve, aren't we?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's not an easy job at all.
No, not at all. Well, you brought along some friends today that helped make Riverdale tick, right?
Yeah, sure did. So we got a number of people here, including a student, and I think this is something that we'll continue to do throughout the next couple months. We want to just kind of showcase what we do at Riverdale, and it's nice to get these staff members right in front of the mic, too.
Indeed. Here he is wearing another hat today, Chris Simonson. He's a regular on the morning show these days. How you doing, Chris?
I'm well. Thanks for having me here, Phil and Jeff.
Let's talk a little bit about sports right now. You're the cross-country coach, and yep. You just recently had one of the biggest meets in the area on Saturday. How did that go?
Went very well, yeah. Big meet, 24 total teams, 668 runners were registered, I believe. A lot of kids, a lot of exciting races, you know. This Invitational has grown from the six or seven teams that it began with close to 30 years ago. I believe this was the 25th or 26th year that Riverdale has hosted this. I would have to go back through the records to be sure, but the meet continues to grow, and it's a nice tune-up for conference, which is coming up for most schools here next week.
And you get the opportunity to host this. This is a great thing for this year's team, isn't it?
It really is. You know, kids, our kids especially love to run here, but we find it's a favorite of a lot of other teams because, well, as you know, down here in the Wisconsin River Valley, there are no hills on our course. So it's an incredibly fast course, and kids just love to come and run here. I was speaking with the coach from Reedsburg on Saturday. They were adding another meet, and he joked with them, just to kind of fool with them a little bit. He said, well, we're picking up this other meet so that we'll know what we're running at sectionals. And I think as a result, we're going to drop Riverdale. And they said, no, no, not really, because I didn't think you guys, no, we want to go. So, this is a favorite of an awful lot of teams.
Got a lot of really good times on Saturday, too.
Fantastic times. You know, again, the course is, it's well-groomed. It's a beautiful course once you get on the DNR land back in the trails with the woods and things like that and through the park down by the river. But, yeah, it's a quick course with a lot of runners.
Weather looks to be pretty good for Thursday. So you've been fortunate. You haven't had bad weather days often, have you?
We have not. Other than the basketball night run a few weeks ago, that was rescheduled to the following Friday night because of lightning happening. We got in our middle school girls race, and at that point they said, you know, let's head to the buses and see what's happening, and we never came back. So they rescheduled it for the next night, but other than that, yeah, we have had fantastic weather all season, and it looks to be good on Thursday when it's our turn to host the SWAL conference meet this year.
I had to think, when you had the number of runners you did Saturday at Riverdale, it's really an advantage to get off to a good start, because if you get stuck in the back somewhere, you're going to be really having a hard time getting around everybody, aren't you?
It is, and that's one of the things that we talk to the kids about in our coaching, in our strategy coaching. Because you've got about 100 meters or so, and it narrows up pretty quickly to a spot about 12 or 15 feet wide where you can run comfortably, and then a couple of hundred meters after that you turn right into the woods, and there are places where it's only 6 feet wide. So yeah, you need to get out and go and make sure you're in a good spot so you don't get bunched back in. And you know, inexperienced runners learn that real quickly. Yeah, these coaches, what do they know? I'll be fine right here. I couldn't get past anyone. Yeah, that's what we told you. So, yeah, it's, yep. Yeah.
It's a great conference that you compete in, and that's probably the only detriment is that you're looking at some state caliber runners and teams right there in the Swall, aren't you?
Boy, we are, and it's been that way for a long, long time. You know, before the old Swall became the new Swall, and you know, the Southern Eights and all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, we've got quality teams, teams who have won state. Fenimore, Boscobel, Iowa Grant, Darlington are in our conference, and they have all won state since we've been a conference. So, yeah.
Boscobel boys had a big day on Saturday too.
They did. They ran very, very well. Yeah, they've got a solid team. And on Thursday, we're going to see Fenimore's girls, and they are tough as nails as well. So yeah, some really great athletes, and you know, the real athletes like to compete against the best, as opposed to just saying, oh, you know what, I can beat everyone here, so this is nice. So it's, you know, it's a great opportunity for all the runners to show what they're capable of as a nice tune-up for then the regional meet, which would be happening the next week, either Friday or Saturday.
Not only coaching cross-country, but moving indoors, you're one of the co-directors of the one-act play. I had to think you should go back to full-time so then you don't work as hard.
then I'd have to give up my job here. Is that what you're hinting at?
No. It's just like you're busier now than you were a few years ago, it seems like.
I laughed at retirees who would say that. I'd say, well, it must be nice to be retired. You've got, and to a person, they would say, I am busier now than I was when I was working. And I laughed and thought, yeah, right. They were right. And, yeah. And you know, but that's okay. I'm doing the things that I want to do in retirement. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's nice to be able to be back working with the kids on theater things. Yes.
And who is your co-director?
Co-director is Catherine Benedict. She is a paraprofessional within the district. This is her second year at the district. And they moved here from Yuma, Arizona, a year ago with their daughter, she was involved with the plays last year, and when we had an opening for an assistant or co-director, Catherine came forward and said, you know what, I have an associate's degree in theater. And we said, yeah, baby. So so yes, please come join us, please come help us, and things are going well, I feel.
Tell us about this year's play. What's the title?
The title is When Bad Things Happen to Good Actors. The story is these kids are putting on a one-act version of The Wizard of Oz that was adapted by their director, who is a director in absentia. She's never there. They're doing their final run through, and she's off on a date. And the stage manager doesn't have a script to give people cues, and the sound person keeps messing things up. And there's no music from the movie. We can't do that. We don't have the rights for that. So there are no songs. There's some made-up characters. There's an Uncle Ben. Is that Cousin Ben? Uncle Ben? Some?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think so.
I think it's Uncle Ben, who the director made up as kind of a narrator. And the character says, you know what? He's not in the movie. He's not even in any of the books. I don't know where this comes from. So these poor kids are on stage doing their best with costumes that aren't completed, with props and set pieces that aren't really there. So they're struggling comedically through this. And as actors, we feel their pain because, unfortunately, we've all been in a situation like that at least once in our lives where nothing comes together properly. But the kids are having a good time with it, and they're doing a nice job.
Yeah, I have that dream every once in a while that I'm going to play, and I'm not sure what play it is. And
yeah, you know. don't you? For me, it's always The Music Man, and for whatever reason, I'm standing backstage at River Valley, and somebody's saying, "Well, you remember this from 1978, don't you?" Go. What? And we will compete. This is the One Act Festival. It's part of the Wisconsin High School Forensics Association. So, you know, when you pay your dues for forensics, that also allows you to do one act and debates and things like that. We are competing for the first time with this season at Reedsburg this Saturday at 2:30 at their Performing Arts Center there.
Good luck with that.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Alex Schneider is here as well, a member of your cast. And good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Great to have you in here. Tell me about your role with the one-act play.
So I am Dorothy in our one-act play. It's been a pretty fun role to fill, as I do get some lines here and there that really show me as Dorothy. But I'm also, towards the end of the show, I get some lines showing my displeasure with how the play has come together. I have a fun little rant I get to go on, and I'm yelling at the audience about how I'm so frustrated with how this has all gone. I've done my part. None of you have done yours. And it's been a really fun experience. I think as actors, it's pretty fun to break that fourth wall at times. And there's a lot of good lines. The playwright who wrote this one act also wrote our one act from last year, as that was also a really fun script. They've both been really fun to kind of experiment with different ways to interact with characters. And yeah, it's been a really fun script to do.
That's an interesting role, because it's Alex playing Dorothy, and then Dorothy, you know, you're kind of playing the character that's playing Dorothy talking to the audience.
So. Yeah, there's a couple lines here and there where the characters are like, Alex, the stage is for singing and dancing, not talking, and I have to respond more as myself, but also Dorothy. It's a really fun way to be able to show your emotion on stage while also showing, because it's not really me, it's this girl who's just up on stage and she's struggling. So I have to fill a few different roles there, and that's it's a fun challenge, being able to convey those emotions.
Do you have a Toto?
Yes, we do have a Toto. Adrian, he is a very good actor. He's been it's just the character is interesting in and of itself, because towards the end, Toto has a few lines here and there, like actually talking. And I'm like, Adrian, you need to be a professional. And then he gets up at the end and is like, I am a professional. I'm going to Juilliard next year and I'm dressed up as a giant dog. And it's just, like I said, being able to break that fourth wall with some of those characters is really fun. And I was curious when I got the script, I was like, oh, who's going to be our Toto? But Adrian has filled those shoes really well. experimenting with our different barking sounds has been lots of fun.
That's awesome. You've been involved in a lot of Riverdale productions, haven't you?
Yeah, so I joined my sophomore year. I wish I could say I joined my freshman year, but, you know, I've loved every minute of it since I have joined. Sophomore year, we went to, I believe, District with How to Get into College. And then last year we went to State with iChorus. That was a ton of fun. And then we have this year's one act. And then during Christmas time, we come in here to WRCO and speak about, we do our Christmas play, our radio show. And that's always a lot of fun, too. There's definitely not as much preparation involved in that, which is nice. But it still keeps you in the acting mindset between that one act in the fall and the full production in the spring. And the full production in the spring is also a lot of fun, because I wouldn't say there's so much pressure because we're not competing. I think that competing aspect puts more pressure on you in the fall. But then in the spring, we can go into that full production mindset where we're getting more detailed with props and lighting and costuming. And I think we get more time in the spring to be able to put work into our characters, which is nice. But the competition aspect in the fall is also a lot of fun.
It probably gets you fired up there for this thing, but it's different than a regular forensics event, because usually you're just yourself, you know.
This is because I also do forensics myself, and when I do forensics, I'm usually by myself. But this is also, I think the great thing about drama is being able to have trust in these people and knowing that they've got your back and you've got their back. If there's a line slip up, I was talking to a couple castmates the other day, and they were saying last year at State for iChorus, one of our other actors, he just graduated last year, he had a couple lines that he had forgotten, and the two girls on stage, they saved him a couple times, and we still did really well. I mean, even after those slip-ups, they had his back, and I think it's nice to be able to know that we're all there for each other, and we're all, we've got each other.
Sounds like this year, you know, where you're doing The Wizard of Oz, too, if you messed up a line, it'd be easy to fill it with an ad lib of some. They may not know the difference.
Yeah, so. And that's what's really great, because we've been talking about if we're on stage and we're like, oh, what if I forget this? It's like, that's fine. Ad lib it, because nobody, like, it's supposed to be a mess. And then there's a couple times where, like, we're wondering about props and the witch's broom. I think we did end up getting an actual straw broom, but originally we were talking about getting, like, an oak cedar broom for the Wicked Witch of the West's broom. And so it's just fun to be able to experiment with bad props. And considering Riverdale has a small drama department, I think this is a very versatile show to be able to work with whatever size drama department you have, because we don't have as much money as maybe other schools do, or we don't have the space to be able to build these large sets. So it's, if we can say, oh, this is how it's supposed to be, then we have a reason to not have as many things, which is nice.
What are some other clubs you're involved in at Riverdale, Alex?
Well, in the fall, I'm involved in drama, and I'm also in Leo Club, which is an all-year thing. Mr. Simonson here is the advisor for that, and that's an organization. We volunteer and help with things. It's nice to be able to help people in the community with that. And throughout the year, I'm also involved in Educators Rising. It is a new club. It was formed in 2016, and I think we just reached our 100 club mark for the state of Wisconsin, I think just this year. It's just for students who aspire to be an educator someday or somewhere in the education field, whether that's a paraprofessional, a student aide, a principal. It could be anything. And that's nice because we meet with a lot of teachers, and we get to talk about the things that you don't really hear about on the day-to-day. We talk about what it means to become a teacher, what you have to do to become a teacher, and all of those things. And this year, me and my friend Chloe Franklin, also from Riverdale, we are involved. We are two state ambassadors for Educators Rising, which means we will be planning a lot of the events for the year for Educators Rising, which is nice. It's fun to be able to be in that leadership position and take on those roles where we can make decisions collectively. And it's nice to be able to speak with people from other parts of the state that are also involved in the club. But moving on from that, again, drama is an all-year thing because we have our three productions. And then in, I would say, about March, February time is when Forensics and Solo and Ensemble really start to get rolling. Forensics, again, it's all WISDA, Wisconsin Interscholastic Dramatic Arts Association. That's a kind of a mouthful. But Forensics, in the past, I have done prose speaking, which is where I just read almost a short story, and then I'm graded based on eye contact and tone and all of those things. And 2 years ago, I did that, and I got a gold at State. So the next year, I decided, well, I've got to switch it up. I've already got gold, so I've got to do something else. And then this past year, I did solo acting, which is just where I am by myself giving essentially a monologue. And I have to have that memorized and be able to build the character enough and act within that character so that I can get a gold. And I did get a gold this year. So my next big decision is deciding what to do this year, as I already have two golds. You got to move on from that. And I've perfected it. So I've got to pick something else now, I guess.
Radio. broadcasting.
Yeah, I have thought about radio speaking as two friends from Riverdale have also done that, and they've enjoyed it and done well. So I think that'd be interesting to do. I'm getting my practice in right here.
Yep. Do you want to get into education, though?
Education is, I think I like being able to help people, and I also, I'm a music student. I enjoy music a lot. So I think a very possible job for me is being a music teacher, because I want to be able to use music in my everyday job. I think I want to be able to use what I've learned here in my future job. I don't want to go into a job where I'm not using what I've learned, and I think music would be really fun. And also to be able to share my love for music with students. And I've also thought about being a Spanish teacher as well, because I love speaking Spanish, and I... One of my big mentors the past few years was Sarah Pluckelman. She is the elementary school principal, but she was my Spanish teacher for a few years, and she was always a wonderful teacher. And you could just tell by walking into her classroom the love that she had for teaching, and I think that really reached me, along with a lot of my other teachers at Riverdale. Like, just seeing how much they love their job and the students inspired me to be like, oh, this is something I think I want to do. Like, I want to be helping these people like my teachers have helped me. So that's been nice.
Well, you'd be a great teacher, I think. So
thank you.
You bet. Thanks for coming along. We have more on the morning show. We have Mr. Tanner Williamson here as well. We'll talk with him about what he does and his roles here at Riverdale as well when the morning show continues.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Hi, I'm Joan Balwig. As a mom, grandma, and small business owner, I understand how rising costs are affecting Wisconsin families, whether it's groceries, school supplies, or health care. That's why I fought in Madison to put more money in your pocket and support programs that address rising costs. I voted to cut taxes for the middle class. I fought to provide more health care coverage for postpartum mothers. I worked to address rising child care costs by expanding available tax credits and by creating new child care slots. And I fought to improve access to mental health care and suicide prevention. Because by working together and bringing everyone to the table, we can put more money in your pockets and support programs that reduce costs, improve outcomes, and make life more affordable again. I'm Joan Balwig. I'm a bipartisan consensus builder. I'm running for state senate, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Joan Balwig.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Elizabeth Grabe is just another out-of-touch, out-of-state politician who doesn't share our rural Wisconsin values. But Miami Liz thinks she's qualified to represent our district because she's lived in Miami, Florida for 20 years? Hear it from her.
Lafayette County is much different, but there's a element there that I feel as though I would be a good person to have representing that district, because I lived in Miami for 20 years, and my son's father is Colombian.
And Miami Liz thinks she knows farming because she enjoys archery?
I'm kind of a farm girl. I enjoy archery.
Even funnier, Miami Liz thinks she's better than us. Just take it from her.
And I feel like we're a little bit more affluent.
Miami Liz belongs at the beach, not representing our farms. Elizabeth Grabe is wrong for our district and wrong for Wisconsin.
Paid for by Novak for Assembly.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Gunderson Boscobel Area Hospital and Clinics is proud to welcome family nurse practitioner Matt Drakis to our growing primary care team. Matt cares for all ages and is accepting new patients at the Gunderson Boscobel and Muscadet Clinics. From sports and general physicals, acute illnesses, and chronic disease management, Matt looks forward to being your partner in health. To schedule an appointment with Matt in Boscobel or Muscadet, call 375-4144.
Over 100 years of serving Southwest Wisconsin, all of us at Jones Chevrolet are honored to continue the tradition. We love to help you choose a new Chevrolet. We love to help with maintenance, repairs, and accessories, too. Schedule a service appointment, see our inventory, connect with a sales professional, and get pre-approved for competitive financing at JonesChev.com. Come see the exciting new Chevrolets. Jones Chevrolet, over 100 years of being your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Changing someone's life is one of the greatest feelings that a person can have. Volunteers get to have that feeling each time they donate their time to help others. Schmidt Woodland Hills is a great place to donate some of that time. Schmidt is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization that relies on the kindness and generosity of members of our community to make a difference in the lives of our residents. If you would like to make a difference in someone's life, contact Jeremy Walsh at Schmidt Woodland Hills.
For years, you've relied on the Shoebox and Black Earth for selection, the right size, and that comfortable fit. Now you can save even more right across the street at the Bargain Box. You'll find great deals on athletic shoes, casual and dress shoes, and boots for everyone in the family at prices that'll knock your socks off. No problem, they sell socks too. Stop in today at the Bargain Box across the street from the original Shoebox on Highway 14 in Black Earth.
The Supplemental Security Income Program provides monthly payments to help meet basic needs, like putting food on the table, paying the rent, or buying new shoes for growing feet. You may qualify if your income and financial resources are low, and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. Call 1-800-772-1213 or go to ssa.gov/SSI to start to apply. Produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Pests are trying to turn parts of the corn belt into the corn rootworm belt. But DeKalb brand says, not on our watch. Crush corn rootworm with DeKalb brand SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology. It's the outstanding yield potential of DeKalb corn with advanced protection against corn rootworm. When pest pressure is highest, hit back your hardest. Talk to your DeKalb representative. Never settle. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Thank you. We have some friends from the Riverdale District in the studio with us today. Tanner Williamson is here, who is a special education teacher in the Riverdale District, but also college and career readiness coordinator. And Tanner, you've got a lot of things to talk about here today. The program's going well, it sounds
like.
Yeah,
absolutely. We have a lot of great offerings at our school. So at first, I'm just going to list some of these off because we'll probably reference them later on. But right now, so we start our academic career planning in sixth grade, then it continues on well and through high school. And when you get to high school, we have a lot of options for you. We've got the AP courses, which are, that's a pretty standard thing amongst high schools nowadays. And then we got transcripted credit classes, which is like working through Southwest Tech, and CAP classes also, that's a partnership with UW Oshkosh. Then we've got a couple other partnerships with Southwest Tech with Start College Now and College Edge Up. And then we've got the Early College Credit Program, which is with all UW schools. So through all those opportunities, Riverdale will pay for 18 credits for our students. So they have a lot of opportunities to start their progress towards their college degree if that's the way they're looking.
Didn't you have a student last year that kind of set the bar pretty high?
Yeah, we had a student that actually reached, I believe, over 50 credits in college credits. So they could have graduated their college program in 2 years. I believe they're choosing to kind of spread it out a little more. But I mean, especially if you're a student that's looking to go 7-8 years of schooling, such as a medical field or something, if you could cut your 4-year program into a 2-year program, it's such a huge advantage, not only cost savings, but time and just opportunity in general, because you never know what that saved time is going to provide you.
Are those classes then after the regular high school and nights and weekends and things like that, or how does that work?
Yeah, you can do either or. So a lot of kids or students, when they start out with these classes, they will have a dedicated period in the day. We usually encourage that so that they can kind of get a feel for what it's like to work with the higher level content. But if they get more versed in the programs, we can kind of see where they're at. And if they want to do that work on their own, such as at home on the weekends, certainly a lot of students do that too. And also in the summer too.
Southwest Tech is right there in your backyard, basically, at Riverdale. You work quite a bit in partnership with them, don't you?
Yeah. Yep. We have a lot of different working partnerships with Southwest Tech. I'm pretty lucky. I get to work with my sister, who's their dual credit coordinator, Brianna Fortney. So we work hand in hand, kind of making these opportunities or keeping them available and just getting everything going. But yeah, our students really do a great job of utilizing those programs, and our staff do a great job of, you know, if there's an opportunity that we aren't offering, let's figure out how we can offer that too. I think that's a great thing that sets our staff, our school in general apart, or just makes it so successful, is that our staff take these our relationships with the students very seriously and put a lot of intentional effort into the students. And what you see from that is when you're having an intentional conversation with a student about their interests or what they care about, it just naturally progresses into, oh, well, we have this opportunity. We have this opportunity here or there. And just turns into a lot of great opportunities that, you know, I heard a story the other day at a meeting, a guy who was a very successful tech ed teacher. He had never even thought about being a teacher until his tech ed teacher stopped him for a 40-second conversation in the hallway one day, completely changed his life, just that small conversation. So I think our caring staff providing those opportunities for, you know, insight into the future is what really has made all of these programs so successful for us.
Education, I know when you were in Riverdale School, these opportunities weren't necessarily there. Would you have taken maybe the same path or have gone a different way had you had those?
I think I definitely would have ended up in education. Hearing Alex talk about, you know, why she wants to be an educator, I can echo everything she said. I had this similar experience at Riverdale, super positive, and that's what made me want to get into the field. But yeah, the options have certainly changed. When I went through high school, was Youth Options was the main opportunity, and I left high school with about 3 credits, which was great, I thought. Mm-hmm. But now when you hear about students leaving with 50, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 credits, yeah, it's the opportunities have certainly increased, and it's obviously a great thing for our students, especially the ones that are aiming towards a college degree. But I think in the past couple of years, the emphasis has kind of switched from let's get them ready for college to just let's get career ready. And we have a lot of opportunities in that area too.
You have several students that are doing the school to work process as well?
Yep, we have 20 plus kids that are working in work experience. And then we also have the youth apprenticeship program, which is sometimes used through the school to work program. But just a great opportunity to get out into the community and start getting some, you know, on the job learning and use the skills that we're teaching them in our classes too.
This has to be rewarding for you to see students excelling that. Can you talk about any other success stories?
Yeah, there's a lot of them, thankfully. You know, right now we have a student that is really enthusiastic about a career in the medical field. She's a junior, and she's almost halfway through the MA program, the medical assistant. So, I mean, and her goal is to be a medical assistant as she's going into further schooling. So just it's really cool to see the enthusiasm chasing down those dreams like that. Another student last year, we had a senior graduate the Southwest Tech welding program. So a week before his high school graduation, he graduated from college with his welding certificate. So, I mean, the opportunities for that or that provides are just endless. I mean, he's a year ahead, and yeah, that's just the cost savings and everything is just a great opportunity. You know, I have a lot of students that come back to us that say, you know, they took 20, 30 credits into college with them. And some of them go in as sophomores or even beyond. And, you know, a lot of those students are looking to go beyond a 4-year program. And like I mentioned, just a huge opportunity to save that amount of time and money, of course.
For area employers, they got to be really enthused about that, getting people into the workforce, which is badly needed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're pretty lucky, I think, and I think it's something that's increasing is these partnerships with local employers, and it's definitely a goal that we want to keep pursuing, is, you know, like the thing I think in my head is like keep the local talent local. And, you know, Jeff talked about our school board members. We're so lucky to have, you know, graduates still contributing to our school. And, you know, through the youth apprenticeship program, through CESA 3 and the Department of Wisconsin Workforce Development, there's so many opportunities around here just in so many different fields to get those on-the-job experiences. And, you know, most of these experiences go really well, and these students are able to network, you know, that most people, these network opportunities that most people don't get until after they graduate college, really, and they're getting them before they even enter college. And it's just a huge advantage. And, you know, some partnerships, you know, we have a lot of students working at Meisters right now. We've had some opportunities presented us to our students through Richland Hospital and Gunderson Boskill also. And, you know, it's becoming more common, it seems like, that they want to get into schools so that they can hopefully grab the talent before it heads off somewhere else.
For a student, too, I think it's important to get out in the community and make connections, you know, because I remember when I went to school, you know, you knew the people in your group, but you didn't know people in the community. It really helps to have those connections, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our staff has done a great job in providing those opportunities outside of what I've already mentioned. You know, last year, we had a really successful career job fair. It was, I think we had 35-plus employers present at that, and we send all of the junior high school building, all the students get to go through, talk with employers, and we get really great feedback from the employers, and just starting that, you know, starting that networking right away for the students that, you know, and sometimes it turns into a summer job, or maybe it's just a little exposure on what is available out there in the world because that's usually a big thing is the students just don't really know what options they have out there. Mm-hmm. And then the other opportunity we did last year that was new was Alumni Day, and we brought in, I think it was 40 plus alumni members to present to our students, and it was in related career fields that they were interested in. And another great opportunity that, you know, really exposed the students to, holy cow, like never thought about those, that type of career. And also it was just really cool to see alumni members, you know, they were fired up and they really enjoyed just trying to give back to the community.
That's a great thing. Jeff, things are hot and happening at Riverdale these days, it sounds like.
Yeah, they sure are. And tonight at our board meeting, we'll approve the courses that we're looking and the students, and look to approve those courses for the students that will be taking those classes in the spring, and talk about our AP results, which we had a really successful year last year on, and we'll set the stage for this next year.
Yeah, the pupil count a couple of weeks ago, right?
We did. Yep.
Enrollment.
Yep. We're declining as a small school, but you know that was kind of expected with a small 4K class coming in and a large senior class going out. So we'll keep building those numbers up.
Did you want to mention sources of strength here today?
Yeah, we'll probably have somebody come in a little bit in the future to talk about this, but this is a great mental health program, and the state's been a big push, and you'll hear a lot of that in the biannual budget of school districts getting more resources towards student mental health, because it's a serious issue that we're seeing with our students, and we need to tackle it. And we do a pretty good job with our focus on building relationships and making sure everybody has a person within the school that they can rely on, a staff member, and all kinds of staff members. But that is a program that we're running that we'll probably talk more in depth on a program coming up here. But Katrina Johnson, who's a Riverdale graduate, really runs this for a number of area schools and runs these grants. She's an exceptional individual that has really spearheaded this and continues to make this program a success in area schools.
That's awesome. And your one-act play, Chris, you guys are performing Saturday. When is that again?
Saturday at 2:30 p.m. We are at Reedsburg High School. There will be three schools there. We're at 2:30. Reedsburg is at 3:30. Barneveld is at 4:30. Free admission for anybody who wants to come, and I guarantee you'll see some great plays from some great programs in this part of the state.
Do you put it on for the public then, other than that competition?
We will. We haven't set a date for that yet. Ordinarily, we do it in conjunction with parent-teacher conferences, but those are going on a little earlier than usual, so we'll have to find a date where all the kids are able to make it. And yes, we will do it for the public.
And if you get that top rating this weekend, then where do you go after that?
After that, we would go to Wanakee in 2 weeks perform there.
Good.
Yes.
That way you don't lose your lines then, right, Alex? You remember your lines well?
Yeah. It's the period between our first and second performance is always a bit nerve-wracking if we can move on. But a couple of people that have been in drama this year and last year, we all really like Wanakee High School. It's a nice place to go.
Boy, howdy.
It is a wonderful auditorium. And if you've been there before, or even to Reedsburg, even that is just a step up from what we have at Riverdale. And it's, even if you don't get past your first level, it is a great experience being able to just go to one of those larger theaters and being able to meet other people in these programs. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
It's like going to the Dallas Cowboys Stadium or something like that and playing football.
Yeah, sure it is. That big old scoreboard hanging down in the middle of things, yeah.
Well, good luck this weekend, you guys.
Thanks very much, Phil.
And Tanner, it's an exciting time to be in education, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. At that same meeting that I mentioned earlier, the educator was talking about, you know, he never feels like he goes to work. He's just going and doing what he loves. And I absolutely feel the same way. And I think Riverdale is a great place to be. So
great.
Good.
Well said. Jeff, anything you want to add at the end here?
No, I just look forward to this opportunity again next month. We'll bring in some of our other programming and some of our other staff of some things coming up in November and December.
We look forward to it.
You bet.
Thanks for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you.
Jeff Campbell, who is the district administrator at Riverdale, along with Chris Simonson and Alex Schneider, a senior at Riverdale this year, and also Tanner Williamson, who is college and career readiness coordinator and special ed director at the Riverdale School District.
Margin to savings now at All American Do It Center. Save $4 with online rebate when you buy 2 quarts of Rust-Oleum black or white paint on sale at $12.99 each before rebate. Save $10 on a 22.5-inch folding sawhorse pair, now $29.97. Or save $15 on a Black & Decker 20-volt max cordless drill kit for only $54.99. March into savings until the 24th at All American Do It Center in Tomah, Sparta, and Richland Center. All American.
Living on a fixed income isn't easy. Today I have to get some groceries. Oh, and I need new light bulbs and trash bags. I need to stop by the pharmacy to fill my prescriptions. And I was going to get a birthday present for my granddaughter. Trump's import tax will cost us almost $4,000 more a year for these errands. Kamala Harris is cracking down on price gouging for groceries, and she will always protect our Social Security benefits from Trump's plans to make cuts.
After years of hard work, you should be able to retire with dignity. We capped the price of insulin at $35 a month and the total cost of prescription drugs at $2,000 a year for seniors.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. VotersOfThese50States.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Tired of counting sheep? Hi, this is Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Did you know that 1/3 of your life is spent sleeping? The 7 to 9 hours we should spend catching Z's helps the body heal itself,